October 14th is the voice referendum about changing the constitution, and lots can be said about what that means, but there has been protests of various kinds on both the yes and the no side. In recent times in Hong Kong, there were protests about the government, where churches were divided, and there were countless headlines, including this one I saw on a Christian website. Hong Kong churches divided over whether to support protesters. And also I saw this quote on mainstream media: when Hong Kong's largely peaceful pro-democracy protest turned violent last summer, it drove a wedge through every section of society, dividing friends, families, and also worshippers at its more than 1,500 churches. One pastor said that this shows that in this church, imagine his church, politics clearly overrides gospel and truth. Now, we're not saying that the voice referendum is like the government protests in Hong Kong. No, there are clear differences. But what we are saying, or what I'm saying, is the church should never divide over politics. So who's going to win the NRL Grand Final today? Panthers or the Broncos? Panthers, yeah. Around the country, fans are divided. Even the experts are divided over this, but we should never be divided over politics. The church is God's domain. We preach Christ crucified, not politics. And because of Jesus, there should be no dividing wall of hostility between people who vote yes and people who vote no. Now, of course, we are to love our neighbours, and so faith informs our vote. But people are going to, what this means, people are going to land on different sides of the spectrum. See, here at Campsie Congregation, we believe that the Bible does not adjudicate between the yes and the no side. So we certainly do not teach that to be a Christian, you must vote one or the other. You can vote either or. There are good people on both sides of the camp. In fact, I'd go so far as to calling this upcoming vote a disputable matter. By disputable, we mean non-essential. There will be disagreement. Now, in the church, there are matters that are indisputable, and that means essential, and we are in agreement. For example, the risen Christ, that is indisputable. Our position on marriage, abortion, euthanasia, that is indisputable. We agree, that is clear, but there are disputable matters in the church. There's plenty of them. Type of music, colour of carpet. Often Christians disagree over the spiritual gifts and politics. See, how you might vote might depend on cultural background, on your political leaning, whether you fall left or right, or interactions with those around you, like whether you interact, your extent of interacting with Indigenous people or not, or your understanding of what the future looks like if you vote yes or no. These are highly disputable matters. The key word disputable is found in the next chapter of the passage, Romans 14. And we read these words: except the one whose faith is weak, the Apostle Paul says, without quarrelling over disputable matters. Now, in Paul's day, the issue, if we go on into Romans chapter 14, the issue is food. What you can eat, what you cannot eat. Kind of the conversation might have gone something like that, something like this in these days. What's your source of meat? Pork. You got it from that slaughterhouse? How can you call yourself a Christian? And so Paul is saying, don't quarrel over these disputable matters. That was those days. Now today it might be how you vote. But even if another person's faith is weak and they vote opposite to you, we are called to, we think they're weak and they vote opposite to you, we are called to be united, united in Jesus. And if we are united, when the conversation of the voice referendum does come up, and I'm aware that it doesn't always come up, and many of us here might not even really be thinking about it at all, but if it does come up, we must show respect to those who differ from my view. We must be willing to listen and not just walk out of the room. And as far as possible, we've got to live at peace with everyone, live at harmony with everyone. Because in the bigger picture of Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, that's what Paul is calling Christians to do in the Roman world and here today. Live in harmony, live with peace with everyone. Now, of course, we're free to campaign. I know Christians who are campaigning for a particular side of the vote, but we must do it in a godly way. And we've got to do it in such a way that we do not divide the church, because around the world, there are a lot of people, a lot of churches who divide over politics. And thankfully here at Campsie Congregation, we certainly don't. But it's good to be reminded that we cannot do that. Now, of course, there are many people in this room who are too young to vote. But here's what you need to know. Politics and government, as boring as it is important to God. There are a number of passages that deal with government. We have an example today, and the voice referendum is in a few weeks, so... that's why I thought it was important. It was on my heart to speak about that today. But they're important to God. Also, we must never divide over the body of Christ must never divide over politics. That is critical, because the church is God's domain. Jesus is the head of the church. We cannot divide his church over politics. We must remain united. I suspect if we were to take a poll, we'd probably end up, those who can vote, we'd end up 50-50. But that doesn't really matter, and thankfully there's no division among us. It's a non-issue. But that's to speak about those things. But let's go to our passage today, Romans 13, and we read these words. First point. And we'll keep in mind that politics and government are important to God. But we'll start by saying the context. The context is Paul is writing to the church in Rome. It is the Roman Empire in the first century. Paul is he's not naive. He's aware that the Roman Empire is a brutal bunch. But in spite of all that, he says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established." So what that means is all authority is derived from God. God is the source. Without God, there is no authority that exists. Yes, it is true that most authorities rebel against God. We see that product of a broken world. But authorities are a gift. They are for our protection. We need authorities, otherwise we'll descend into anarchy. If you read your insert that was sent to you over the email, the first prayer point from Reverend Neil was, he wrote that the government in Haiti has collapsed, therefore people are afraid to leave their homes. There's an example. We need authorities for protection, otherwise we'll just descend into anarchy, so that they are a gift. Again, rugby league grand final tonight. Imagine, without a ref, there'd be mayhem. And so it's the same. We need the government authorities. So God in his kindness has given them to us. Now, of course, it's not just Anthony Albanese's government in Canberra. It's any kind of authority. So, for example, police, teachers, park rangers, nurses, church elders, any kind of authority is established by God, and we are called to be subject to them. Now, in the aftermath of COVID lockdowns, subject to governing authorities doesn't really sit well with many people. But Paul is not saying we should never criticize. We are to hold the government to account. We are to vote them out if we must. Go public if we're in that position to reveal some level of corruption. We are to do these sort of things. 1 Timothy 2, we are to pray for them. But we've got to watch our attitude. We've got to beware of disobedience. We've got to be subject to them. And so he gives a practical example in this passage of paying taxes. And paying taxes has proven to be reliable over human history as a good example, because nobody likes paying taxes. We don't like paying taxes. I had to pay tax recently. They changed the law, and usually I get a refund after I fill in my tax return. But this year I had to pay a huge amount. I don't know why, but I didn't like it at all, but I had to do it. And so it's a good example of paying taxes. Now, of course, there's tax evasion. That's out and out wrong. Tax evasion. There's a popular star called Shakira in the news again for possible tax evasion. She always seems to be in the news for tax evasion, but there's tax avoidance. That's different to tax evasion. Tax avoidance, it might be legal, but it isn't right. You know, the rich have the resources to find the loopholes and avoid paying tax, but is it right? And so we pray, if you're rich or you know someone who's rich, God gives you the discernment about whether it's right to avoid paying tax. But certainly that's different to tax evasion. Tax evasion is wrong. Back in Paul's day, they didn't have nearly as many loopholes, and it was pretty straightforward. In his day, if you owe taxes, you pay taxes. He said that in verse 6. And then elsewhere, Jesus, he took a coin and he asked the Pharisees who were trying to trap him. In Matthew 22, he says, "Who inscription is this, a face on the coin?" And they replied, the Pharisees who were trying to trap him, they replied, "Caesar's." And then Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's." So in other words, pay your taxes. Be subject to the governing authorities. Now, I know what you're thinking, because we're all thinking the same. Here's what you're thinking, and I'm thinking it's the elephant in the room. What do we do about corrupt, tyrannical government? This is not easy, because everybody thinks their government is corrupt on some level. Just ask the average man in the street. I mean, I was driving buses for a while there, and you know, how many people walk on the bus and have a go at government whenever the subjects seem to pop up on the bus? How corrupt they are? Ask the average man on the street. They think their government is... So this is not easily discerned. And when I was in North America, I knew Christians there who thought that their government was corrupt, and that if they ever changed legislation regarding guns, that they're going to war, because guns is a gospel issue. We live in a strange world. And so it seems like everyone's got a definition, corrupt and corrupt. But what do we do? Well, the Bible puts it very clearly, keeps it straight. And the issue is, here's what we do. Unless the government directly contradicts God's commands, so for example, we have a classic example in Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles were told by the authorities not to speak the name of Jesus. So that's an example of contradicting God's command. And then they replied, "We must obey God rather than men." That seems to be a clear example of when we don't submit to the government. But again, Paul is not naive. He knew that the Roman Empire was brutal. He knew about the gladiatorial fights in the first century, the ripping off Israel with horrible taxes, their heavy reliance on slavery. They even put Paul himself into prison. They gave the nod to crucifying Jesus. That's what the Romans did. But in spite of that, he said, be subject to the governing authorities. We go, why? Why would we need to do that? Well, God says it, and also in verse 4, he says it is for your good. For the one in authority is God's servant for good. Now again, complex world, everybody defines what good is differently. But verse 7 is a good guide of what good can mean, should mean for us. It's a good guide. Give to everyone what you owe them. So if you owe taxes, pay taxes, government. If revenue, then revenue, so I guess pay your bills. If respect, then respect, I guess teachers, police, nurses, that sort of thing. If honour, then honour, elected official. I was trying to imagine what this might look like, and I thought if I was to bump into the Prime Minister, maybe not just this Prime Minister, but let's just previous Prime Minister as well, because I'm not taking sides. If I was to bump into a Prime Minister, what I'm to do as a Christian is give respect and honour, even though I might not have voted for them, because they are in a position of authority, and that's what God wants me to do. Now, of course, what if the government abuses their power? And again, remember at the start I said, you know, we live in a sinful world, and, you know, governments rebel against what God does. You know, that's the reality of a broken world. But what do they do? We must remember that, yeah, we're to submit to them, but they have a higher authority. They are answerable to God. They will be judged by their deeds. And so they won't get away with it. But the Bible's very clear. It can be tough, and each person approaches it differently based on your situation, but we are told to be subject to the governing authorities. Now, back to the voice. In Australia, we have compulsory voting. So if you're enrolled to vote, here's my opinion, that a Christian should vote. We should not try and get around it. Might seem like a simple example, but I think it's right. Other parts of the world, they couldn't cope with the idea of compulsory voting, but for us, we have it, and therefore I believe that as a Christian, we should vote. Verse 2. And then Paul continues, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, what God has instituted. And so we've got to be careful when we rebel against whatever authority there is. If it's not really a gospel issue, like speaking the name of Jesus or worshipping the name of Jesus. Because if we do that, we're rebelling against what God has instituted. And so again, the voice. If we're enrolled to vote, we don't, we get caught, we'll be fined. And the verse says that. Paul says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and will bring judgments on themselves. And in this life, we often see it with, for example, the voice. If you don't vote, you get fined. If you get caught. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. So, I imagine in Rome in the first century, there were some who were trying to force or wanted a Christian government. I imagine there were some who were trying to avoid taxes because the government's corrupt. Paul says, not worth it. You'll be punished. Sword. He said, today we might say tasered or something, but sword. So he says, just submit, be subject, live at peace, the context, Romans 12, live at peace, live at harmony. And so we might be in a position to share the gospel. Because God knows what is best for us. God wants what is best for us. God gives us what is best for us. Those things that are good and will give us a future and a hope and that won't harm us. Now God, He is good. He's a good, good Father. And we trust that God only wants to give us good things, like the governing authorities. Therefore, verse 5, Paul says, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. I was thinking about that matter of conscience. And I believe here's what God wants for His believers. He wants us to enjoy life, to live freely, to remain safe, to move this way and that way, and have a clear conscience, not looking over our shoulder, wondering if the government's going to give us the boot for doing something wrong. He wants us to live life to the full, to be free, to worship Jesus, to be at peace with those around us in our community, that we might tell them about Jesus. That's what God wants for us. That's why He says, be subject to the governing authorities. And so in our church, we are installing a new digital sign, hopefully soon. We don't know when it will come. It depends on what the council does with the application. But our executive committee has pursued a DA. Now, if you watch a lot of American TV, you're probably thinking district attorney. It's not that. Here it's development application. We have pursued a development application. And why? A number of reasons, including it's a matter of conscience. We want a clear conscience. We don't want to be in a position as a church where we worry the government's going to come along or the council's going to come along and say pull that down. No, we have a clear conscience that we're doing everything which the governing authorities expect us to do. Or previously I was talking to Pastor Sam, or Reverend Sam, and he was telling me about the history of this church building and the establishment of this church building, and he was speaking about how it was important to try and do everything right by the council and do everything right by the local residents. And I thought about that later, and I thought one of the reasons that was so very important and that was done by our church here is for it was a matter of conscience. To have a clear conscience that we are doing the right thing by all those around our neighbours, and also the local government. It's biblical. And God blessed us with this building that we can meet in. And so it's certainly important. So let me just sum up the voice referendum. Whether you can vote or not vote, here's what we need to know, because much of the world, churches divide. We don't want to do that. We must never divide over politics like they do in America. A lot of Americans don't, but there are some who do. We must never do that. We must show respect and kindness to those who differ from us. We must be, and this is what mature believers do, we must be willing to listen to people, because in our conflict-ridden world, often people walk out of the room as soon as you differ. We Christians don't do that. We must be willing to listen, show maturity. We must be, verse 1, subject to the governing authorities. This is for our own good and our protection. And we can see around the world what happens when governing authorities break down. And so God gives this as a gift for us. And we should be thankful for that. Now, of course, our faith should inform our vote. And so we know that God calls us to love God and love our neighbour. And so we're going to have to work out what that means in regards to how we vote, if you're voting. Of course, we are called to do the right thing because God has instituted the governing authorities. And so, for example, live at harmony, live at peace with people around us. That's what God, we are to pray, 1 Timothy 2, pray for those in government. that we might be in a position of peace, that we might share the gospel with those around us. And we give thanks that we live in Australia, where we do have rule of law. And this is a good thing. And I think often we take it for granted. So much of life we take for granted, but we cannot take that for granted. We are blessed to live here where we have rule of law. You do the wrong thing, you get in trouble. That's a good thing. It keeps us safe. It enables young kids to be able to walk to school, catch public transport, a whole range of different things. We are called to pay our taxes and to watch our attitude. We come to Jesus, remember Jesus. He was concerned about his Father's will. He was betrayed and he was arrested by the authorities, and he submitted to the authorities. He submitted to the cross. Now, Jesus could have blasted everybody out to kingdom come. He could have done that. But he submitted to the authorities. He submitted to the cross, which brought about God's will, which was for our good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is clear. We know at times your word can be challenging for us. We can easily find a reason why we do our own thing. But you tell us to submit to the governing authority.